Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's cooking, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of The O Show with Jack O'Hara. The podcast is presented by Mayweather Boxing and Fitness in Scottsdale, Arizona. Mayweather Boxing and Fitness is an inclusive, high-intensity fitness experience developed by the champ, Floyd Money Mayweather himself, formulated with the perfect combination of boxing, strength, and cardio conditioning intervals designed to make you look good, feel good, and leave you with more than just a great sweat. It's the best group boxing workout in the market. Head on over to Mayweather Boxing and Fitness. The O Show is also presented by TickPick.com. No hidden fees over at TickPick ever. Not tacked on at checkout, not anywhere. We hate bogus service fees just as much as you do. Our buyer trust guarantees means your tickets will always be valid. If your event is ever canceled, you'll get your full money back, full refunds at TickPick.com. You have a chance to win a trip to the MTV VMAs this year on August 22nd using TickPick.com. Download our app and enter the chance to win two award show tickets, flights, accommodations, and more. Guaranteed best prices. We've eliminated the stresses of price shopping. If you buy tickets on TickPick.com, you know you're getting the best price. For example, I got Pearl Jam tickets a few weekends ago. I used StubHub.com. StubHub.com gave me tickets for $55 each, and it's what I thought it was going to be, $55 with $30 added on taxes and fees. That means it was an $85 ticket. At TickPick.com, going to have gotten tickets for $35, strictly $35. No hidden fees if you want to go to TickPick.com for that. Let's get after it.
Oh, Jack. Jack O'Hara. Boy, you asked me some interesting questions, my man.
It's a great question, Jack.
Jack, hey, it's Josh Rader.
Hey there, Jack O'Hara. It's Johnny Damon.
Jack, you had questions for me.
Jack O'Hara? Absolutely.
This message is for Jack O'Hara. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Jack.
Jack, hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's going on, Jack? Listen, man, you know, you asked me a couple questions.
Broadcasting around the world, you're listening to The O Show.
In the show and doing your thing. I mean, you've got some pretty big name guests. I've seen your stuff, so congratulations on your success.
Jack O'Hara.
Much nicer guy than Conan O'Brien, with much better interviewing skills.
Don't forget to share this episode on your social media. Now, let's get to it.
I am so boned. I forgot to get my girl tickets for the show tomorrow, and now it's sold out. It's her freaking birthday.
Aw, dude. She's totally gonna break up with you.
She's definitely gonna break up with me.
Should've used TickPick.
Wait, what'd you say?
TickPick. Look.
Whoa.
What? There are no hidden fees. What'd you guys think I said?
Oh, TickPick. I thought you said
TickPick. No hidden fees. Download today.
Dude, damn, bro, to figure that shit out right now, man, good for you, dog, good for you. This is good stuff. I'm grateful to be on the call with you. This is awesome. What you're doing is real special.
Well, how old are you?
About to turn 26 on Thursday.
You're still young. You're still young, man.
Oh, bro, and I'm getting younger. I'm getting younger, dog. You don't even know. I mean, you know, but, like, they don't even know. We just out here getting younger, feeling younger, and doing shit because – we don't care what people think, bro. We're just going to change the world.
Dude, you got the attitude of like a 13-year-old kid. All hope in the world.
It's because it's not even hope. It's just I know. I already know what's coming my way. I already know that with time, I'm going to have it. I'm going to change all the people's lives that I'm around. Man, I'm ready for this interview, bro. You don't even know. This is going to be good.
Well, this is going to be fun, man. I don't even remember what episode this is, like 518 or something for me. But this is fun because
crazy.
I've been following your pages for a while now, and you're always commenting on my stuff. You're always making sure you go out of your way to give people recognition when they deserve it. I mean, it's awesome to see. It's awesome to see, but it's a rarity to see, unfortunately, right?
Bro, one of my biggest goals ever is to change the narrative. I want to change the narrative where complimenting people is not weird. Just because you're a guy and you're telling a girl that she's doing a great job doesn't mean you want to sleep with her.
Exactly.
Just because you're another guy and I'm complimenting you doesn't mean I'm being a weirdo. Just because, oh my God, bro, like if you see someone doing something really cool, like you know, like when you touch a hot plate, right? You touch a really hot plate, then you take it out of the microwave and instantly you're like, ah, shit, like that's so hot. You can't even think. It's just, aha. So you see someone on Instagram or in person doing something so cool, and immediately it's like you're touching a hot plate. Holy shit, that's so cool. So instead of just like keeping that in your head and then just like swallowing it and then being done with it, why don't you just be like, holy shit, that's so cool, and actually just say it. Like say it out loud, type it, say it to the person. Like why are you hiding it? We're going to change the narrative, bro. I'm telling you, we're going to change the way society works and how people cheer each other on. They're going to cheer each other on, bro. Cheerleaders, all of us. It's going to happen. I'm telling you.
Dude, just imagine how different the world would be and how much more people would be successful if they went that route. Because not only are you thinking that's awesome, you're telling them that's awesome, then they appreciate you more. They follow your stuff. You guys help each other out. Everybody's looking to eat at the same table, man. Like if everybody helped each other out and gave each other that little nudge, even just like, hey, great content, like great piece of content on social media that they saw, that can make someone's day.
Bro, there's so many people doing great things. And, you know, guys like us, we're fucking dogs, bro. And we don't need the support because we're going to do what we got to do no matter what. But there are people out there who are doing great things, quite like we are. And so many of them quit. They stop because they never got picked up or they got obsessed with the, when am I going to make it to where, to what? But the point is, they quit because they don't get the validation and the support. So say you're doing your thing and you're crushing it, but you put out the best video you ever made and no one gives you love. That could be incentive like, all right, fuck it. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm done. But if one person just says, yo, I watched that video and it changed my life. Now I want to read this book and then I'm going to start my podcast. Bro, if you get that one comment, that could make that person who is just about to quit, not quit, keep going even harder, and then boom, they're gonna get to that point that they're envisioning in their head. Just takes one, only one.
Dude, especially in an era where everybody's making content, there's so many talented people out there making very talented stuff, whether it be video or just random posts on social media, that aren't gonna get recognized solely because of the fact that it's over-congested. Podcasts are over-congested. Content creation's being over-congested. Like, there's a lot of talented people out there that might not ever get the recognition because of the algorithm, unfortunately. So just imagine if one or two people reach out and being like, dude, this is awesome stuff. When, like, a couple hundred people are seeing it, that's what keeps you going.
And we live in this world where the algorithm will favor those who are making negative content. Anything that is putting people down, talking shit, maybe it's sexual, just stupid shit that's not actually inspiring. They're going to favor that, where people like us are putting out such genuine, wholehearted, passionate things, but the algorithm doesn't reward that because nobody wants to be consuming the positives. They want to consume the negatives because it's easier to talk about, it's easier to bond over the bullshit. But if there's pioneers like us that say, no, we're not going to play that game. We're going to play our game. We're going to share the Jack O'Hara post where he's interviewing freaking Irvin Magic Johnson or freaking CMM. Like, you're going to share the artists that you love locally because they're trying to make a difference. Like, we got to push that narrative for positivity because the algorithm ain't going to help us. So why don't we all just help each other?
Amen, brother. Are there any specific people that you've seen on social media, like you really enjoy their content and really want to see them go above and beyond and get recognized? Just like people locally.
Oh, bro, there's so many people locally. I mean, I could go on a list of just countless names from Chris Wertman, Brandon Petta, Jay Sway, Colby Gliona. I mean, I could go on and on with just name after name. And I know for a fact they're all going to make it big time because they're trusting themselves. They're not going to quit. What they're doing is not about them. That's the key. What they're doing isn't about, hey, let me get famous. Hey, like, follow me so you can watch me. It's like, no, I'm investing in myself and I'm creating a service, whether it's workout programs, music, coaching, teaching, because I want to help the people. And when you make that impact, then that becomes more of a connection where you're building connections rather than building a fan base. I don't like the fan base stuff. I don't like fans. It's so stupid. I don't want to have someone love me just for being me. I want you to love me because you love yourself, because I'm pushing you to love you, not you to love me, you to love yourself so you can do your own thing in your world, whether it's podcasting, videos, teaching, coaching, music, performing. Don't obsess over Billy. I don't care. I'm obsessed with myself. I don't need your obsession. Obsess over you and help others feel the same way about them.
That's well put, because you see it with social media today. Like, that's the number one key, is to engage with people and build each other up, as opposed to being like, look what I posted, and expecting a ton of people to like and comment on it. Like, it's not about you. It's about everybody that you're working with. Like, everybody's trying to grow. Like I said before, everybody's trying to eat at that same table of success, man. Like, engage with your audience, engage with the people that listen to your stuff or watch your stuff, engage in other people's content. That way they engage in you, you're engaging in them, you guys are growing together. And I don't think it's that difficult to understand either.
Jack, it's called social media.
Yeah.
Social. You know what social means? Interaction, connection, love, support. You can't just post what you created and then not respond to anyone and then go through people's feeds without liking, commenting, sharing. Social media. If you're going to have a platform, if you're going to be on Instagram, Twitter, you name it, connect with your network. It's about the people you're around and the people that you're supporting. How are you going to have anybody support you if you're not taking a lick of time supporting others? People think they're famous because they're doing what the famous people do, where they make their post and then let all the comments sit. Well, you can do that if you're Rihanna and you got over 100,000 comments to get back to you. That's not likely. Plus, she's so locked in, she's doing stuff in real time, she's not worried about that stuff. But when you're on the come up and you got eight people taking the time to say, that video slapped, that changed my life, you're hilarious, you look so good, you're telling me you have time to binge watch season after season of whatever show you're watching, you have time to talk negative bullshit with your friends, you have time to go walk your dog, but you don't have time to write back to eight people. It takes 2 minutes. It's social media. Talk to people, God damn it.
You never know who's going to respond, too. Like, it could be just me commenting on yours, you commenting on mine. I commented on, like, CeCe Sabathia and sent him a DM the other day and got a response. Like, you never know who's going to respond to you, right? It's so easy. Like, there's so many people out there who have shows or podcasts or whatever that want to go through publicists and agents and stuff to book guests. And this is something completely different. But, you know, like, you never, like, the true power of social media, you can reach out to these people. Like, reach out to Rihanna. You might not get a response, but you might. I have people who have reached out to Theo Vaughn and I've gotten responses, right? Like, I'm reaching out to Major League Baseball players, trying to get them on a podcast. We're starting up now. And they're just like, yeah, sure, why not? Like, players you wouldn't ever think would respond to you because you don't think you're worth it, you know? Like, that's a big part of it too. Like, you put out content, nobody responds to it. It doesn't get a lot of engagement and you just think you suck. Like, no, you don't suck. You're not engaging enough.
You have the opportunity to reach out to anyone, dude. Me and my friends have this conversation all the time. And if you're not going to make those leaps and reach out to the Sabathias and the Rihannas and those, that's awesome. But to do it in your network where you have people that you admire, that you have a connection with, you're just planting good seeds, bro. Like, if you have someone like yourself, you're this young buck superstar who has his own show doing big time things. I know so many people in local television who are killing it as personalities. I know fitness coaches who are so locked in and they're creating programs that are going to change sports and health and fitness forever. In 5 years from now, if we're hyping each other up when we're at the bottom or at this place where like we're trying to make a name for ourselves, bro, in 5 years from now, you're going to hit me up with this sick opportunity because I was supporting you. In 5 years from now, I'm going to hit you up with this sick opportunity because you were supporting me 5 years ago. You don't know where the future is going to take you. So why not build a special foundation of people right now? So when you elevate, you know that they're going to mention your name in a room where there's an opportunity. Hey, I'm in a big room and they're looking for a local broadcaster to call baseball games. Well, I know this great kid, Jack O'Hara. You know, he's 30 and he's got this under his resume. You should look at this guy. What, like, come on, bro, build that network because you never know when your name is going to get brought up. But if we weren't supporting each other, why would we say each other's names in those rooms? And there's opportunities that we're missing in the future.
Yeah, dude, that's so true. Like, there's so many talented people that you look at and you're like, they're totally like, and you're in industries too. You've probably seen it too. We're like, yeah, they're great at what they do. They're a great talent, but they're such an asshole. They only think about themselves. And you think like, how did they get to this point almost? Like you're insanely talented, but like you don't go out of your way to help anybody. You're not growing your network. You're not growing your network. You're not growing your relationships. Like, I don't know how you got here, where in our era, when it is so congested, just in content creation alone, it doesn't matter if you want to be a broadcaster or a podcaster or just someone who makes videos online, you know, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Every single industry is making content today. Pharmaceutical companies are making content creation, for crying out loud. Like, everybody's doing it. And I don't understand how you get to a certain point if you're not treating people well. It makes no sense.
There's a cap. That's why. Like, you can get to a certain level where you think, okay, I'm here. And like, now, if you get to that level without treating people the way you want to be treated, taking the time to grow your network, caring about people, supporting people, you can get to that certain level. And then when you're at that level, those individuals now are waiting for their savior. They're waiting for their lucky break. Okay, I'm here now. When's my call to Hollywood coming? When is so-and-so going to hit me up for a collab? That will never come. And that's what separates people like us from them, is because we're in the trenches making eye contact with people while talking, shaking hands of those we admire when our gut is telling us, you got to go shake that person's hand, even though it's terribly scary, or you got to DM that person because what they just made is killer. So when we, you know, move past those people like we are, they're going to look at it like, wait, how is that possible? This is bullshit. Well, I'm trying to tell people now, you got to invest in the network and the connections and the genuine positivity so you don't get stuck there. Because those people who are stuck, they're not going to get that lucky break, bro. They're not going to get that ticket to the top. It doesn't exist. So they got to change their outlook, change their mindset, ditch their freaking ego. That's the big one. Ditch the ego. You're not better than anybody else. You're just the best in your reality. You're the best Jack O'Hara to ever exist. I'm the best Billy Floyd to ever exist. These fingerprints, this face, this soul, one of one. If you just say, fuck my ego, no ego, I'm the best at what I do because I'm one of one, and you treat everybody right, you go. But those egotistical people, they think, where's my big break? I'm so good at what I do, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, you don't take any time to care about others and you're stuck and no one will feel bad for you ever, 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 ever.
I think you just hit it right on the head of the one thing that differentiates cockiness and just confidence. You know, because like when you're cocky, like you're right. It's just like me. Like, why am I not getting the big breaks? I'm number one in this. I deserve this because nobody's outworking me. Nobody's doing what I'm doing. But like, you're not taking the time to engage in others and feel what they're feeling, being a good friend, being a good coworker, being a good just overall Samaritan. Like, and then there's people who are confident, and yet, like, yeah, it's a little bit of cockiness, but like you're spreading your success around, you know, you're uplifting the people that deserve it, the people that helped you get to that point, because no man does it alone, right? Like, you didn't get to where you're at right now alone. I didn't get to where I'm at alone, you know? Like, there were people along the way that either gave you a break, people that edited some of your stuff, people that threw your name around in a room that you don't even know of. There's people out there that you've never even had a conversation with that have probably looked at your stuff and thought, like, man, that's great. I'm going to push that out because I enjoy that piece of content, you know? Like, it's one thing to be confident, it's another to be cocky. And I think that statement right there that you just said kind of hit it right on the head. What is, like, the median there? Like, the difference, the thing that outweighs the yin and the yang, that outweighs both confidence and cockiness? Because a lot of people can't differentiate that.
I couldn't agree more. It's just spot on. It's factual. And all those people that you mentioned that helped me get to this point, like you said, you cannot do it alone. And all those people that I would like to thank, I view them as they are, quote unquote, better than me. When I'm working out in the gym, I'm working out with people who are all stronger than me. They're all stronger than me because I want to be pushed. I want to be better. When I'm on television, when I'm on air, when I'm making videos, I'm creating with people who have been doing it forever. They're putting pressure on me without even knowing it. I'm putting myself in that position where I'm around legends and I got to perform. When I'm making music, I'm doing it with guys who are talented, freaking artists. Everybody around me is in that better realm and it pushes me to be better. So how can anybody call me cocky when I'm literally telling everybody I talk to, I'm just putting myself in rooms filled with people who are at a higher level than me at what they do solely because I want to get to that level and not surpass them, but rise with them because we're going together. I'm not just going to use somebody and then say peace and then ditch them and then not go with them. We're doing it together because I know I can't get to where I want to unless I collab with him, with her, do this with them, whatever it might be. Can't do it alone, and you can't do it with bums. You got to do it with people that you look up to, you admire, and people that you want to grow with because you trust that they see it as well. They see that vision that you see.
How do you go about differentiating that? Because again, like, that's another key fact that you have to surround yourself with people that are just as passionate as you are about it and people that are just as good as you are at it, right? Like, there's a lot of people who start things and then like a month in, they're like, yeah, it wasn't as exciting 3 weeks ago, you know, and then they stop. You know, like, how do you find the people that you know are in it for the long haul and are gonna do this at no expenses, no final cost? Like, this is it, there's no plan B. How do you find that type of group to be around?
It's a great question. And the answer to it is it's all energy. It's all energy. I've on countless occasions have tried to collab and create with so many different people, whether I was in news, making music, making content. And you just know right away, like, yo, this person's legit. They're not just good at what they do, they're relentless, they're insatiable. And your instincts will tell you, like, you have that connection with your intuition where it's really hard to act on your intuition, but you know when you have to take action. So when you're working with someone and maybe you create something cool, maybe it looks good or it might be funny, but you just know, like, this relationship, it's not wholehearted. It's not what I was looking for. You just know. So you don't just say, like, oh, screw you and move on. But, like, you know to keep your distance and you just know the limit. You know where you're at with that person in any way, even in just relationships in general, when you're not creating friendships of any kind, relationships of any kind. But when you're making content, when you're creating something, when you're building your vision, putting it to life, you just know, like, this person's legit. When you have that eye-to-eye contact, you can say anything with no filter. there's no scarcity and like, wow, like we can't do it. Like there's just this delusional belief, like you're my guy, you're my gal, you're my team. And then by like weeding out the people that really don't fit, you just kind of form that community and you form that group of people you create with, love with, and do shit with. And then you just naturally start attracting other people. And kind of like we just said, like bringing up people's names in rooms, you know, you could be collabing with so-and-so and then a month down the line, they're like, yo, I got this awesome photographer. He's so good at what he does. Let me connect you with him. And then you connect with that photographer, you do a sick photo shoot, and then your pics are all over Instagram. And then that photographer is like, yo, you got to meet my friend who runs this business. Maybe you can do something with them.
Right.
And that chain reaction just goes and goes and goes. But bottom line is you weed out those that don't really fit your energy by just trusting your intuition and continuously trying to link up with people that you think will help you, but mostly just attract it. Be yourself and you're going to attract it. You don't need to run around finding people to do stuff with. They'll find you and you'll naturally come together, but just be open to making those new connections pretty much.
Oh yeah. It's like one of those stupid motivational quotes you see on social media. Like I don't chase, I attract, but it's so true. Like if everybody just lived by that mantra, it's like, oh yeah, I am fucking awesome. Like I am really good at what I do. I am an awesome person. Like, you know, people will try to chase people because they're like, oh, I want this, I want that. But like what's coming to you, what's meant for you is coming to you at some point, right? Everything happens for a reason. There's a higher power out there. Like your script's been written. It just hasn't been portrayed yet on screen, right? Like there's things that are aligning that you don't even realize.
Bro, all those quote unquote stupid quotes that people read or see, they're all true. They're all true. I don't know who was on this level years and years ago who said all this stuff, all these geniuses way ahead of their time, but they're all true. One of my favorite quotes, this is a great one. The universe is full of magical things patiently waiting for our wits to grow sharper. Now that quote means the universe has all these wonderful opportunities, these gorgeous people, amazing venues to perform at, whatever those magical things in your reality might be. But you cannot attract them until your wits grow sharper, until you're smart enough to know, I gotta stop drinking and getting blacked out because it's self-sabotaging the next day where I gotta wake up and go seize it. I gotta break up with this boyfriend or girlfriend because we're not growing together. We just think we have to stay together because we have all these memories and we can't start all over again. I gotta start going to the gym because I feel lazy, and if I start working out, maybe I'll meet those magical people at the gym, or I'll feel healthier and confident that I can put myself in those situations where I'm shaking people's hands, having the charisma to know they're gonna look back at me and think that's a freaking savage right there. And you're gonna attract all those things because the universe is just waiting so patiently for all of us to be smarter, to be stronger, and to be more on the attack, bro. It's my favorite quote. I mean, I'll give you 20 my favorite quotes, but that one just sticks out and it rings so true because every time I made an adjustment where I did something that held me back and started doing something that I knew I had to do despite how uncomfortable it might be putting it in my life, not every time it's instant, but every single time, whether it's instantly, in a week, in a month, in a year, with time, I attract that next magical thing every time. It's clockwork. But people are too afraid to even tap in, and they don't even understand that quote is just spot on the money because they're not even trying to get smarter. They're just doing the same thing on the same hamster wheel, quite like a hamster. They don't even know they're on the hamster wheel. They're just running in circles, waiting for someone to take them out of the cage and put them in some fairy tale land that don't exist. You got to be a freaking man or a woman or a beast. Get off that hamster wheel crawl out of the cage yourself and go figure out this damn life on your own. That's what it's all about.
That is so true. That is a great one, dude. One of my favorites, and you're right. Like, there's so many people out there that make mistakes and then just don't learn from them. Or, like, have, like, a moment where it's like, oh, that stung in the moment. Maybe I don't want to feel like that ever again. And then they just go back and do it. Whether it's, like, getting blackout drunk and being hungover the next day. Like, oh, I don't want to feel like this again. And then they go back and do it again. Like, nobody's learning from their mistakes. I think one of my favorites, probably my favorite quote, was, "It too shall pass." Because, like, you can look at it from both perspectives of just like, oh, I got fired from my job. Oh, like some, like just shit isn't going my way. You know, it too shall pass, right? Where like from the other side of it though, it's like when things are going great, you're on cloud nine, everything's going great for me. Like it too shall pass. You know, you got to be even keel. You can't be too high. You can't be too low. You know, things are going to happen and learn from all of those experiences, right? When things are so high and you feel like nothing's going wrong, that's when you kind of take your foot off the gas a little bit. And that's why sooner rather than later, things aren't going to be going your way because all of a sudden you got too high, you got too confident, you got too cocky. And when things aren't going your way, you know, your foot is on the gas 1,000% because you have that piss and vinegar inside of you that wants to succeed more. But at the same time, you got to know like it too shall pass, like things are going to come your way. It's meant to happen, you know, learn from past failures, past mistakes, past bad times where it did turn around. Because like you look back, like you're going to be 26 this week. Happy birthday, by the way. You're going to be 26 years old. When you were like 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, those, you know, there were probably bad times that stung in the moment that don't even matter today. You probably don't even remember it when you were a kid. There's going to be times right now we're going to look back at and be like, oh, that was a tough time. But like it doesn't even pale in comparison to what I'm doing now, the things I'm going through now. So it's like, you got to take everything with a grain of salt, but you got to look at everything, you know, like it's things are going to work out. They have to, you know, the story's been being written for a reason.
And I don't even like to say that there's bad things. I know exactly what you're talking about with all these bad things that might happen. The quote hits on the money. It always passes. Everything is temporary. And I think Jim Carrey said this quote, and this is a great one, too, to tie into the bad things happening, whatnot. Life doesn't happen to you. Life happens for you. So whatever it might be, obviously, we're going to focus on the quote-unquote bad things right now because all the bad things that might happen, they're not happening to you to ruin your life, to put you in this downward spiral hole. They're happening so you can build resilience. So you can tell yourself, okay, I can handle this. I can push through. I can grind past this. And if I just keep my head down, stay in the trenches, I'm going to prevail and I'm going to come out so much brighter. I mean, just look at every sports story, every sports injury. You see so many legends who go through traumatic experiences and they never give up and they end up back on top. So you can't ever think, man, this stuff is just trying to crush me. You got to take responsibility. Know that you can't control everything. You can only control what you can control. So when something that happens to you that you don't really want, you didn't envision it, you didn't think, oh, this could happen to me, just let it happen. Embrace it. Have the confidence to stay down for a little bit, knowing I'm going to get way back up. I just got to work my way through this little misfortune. And I'm going to be fine, bro. And now look at us. And what the beauty is, we're going to look back on this recording in a year from now, when 2 years from now, 3 years from now, and we're really going to say, damn, like we might have had some shit happen to us, but we literally talked about this live on a podcast and we were right because we never let anything bad happen to us. I know for a fact you've had some crazy bad shit happen to you. I had some crazy bad shit happen to me, but why would that ever stop me? It always passes. Like you just said, it always passes.
I'm going to try to find a way to play devil's advocate with you here because like that is so true. Like, and again, like it always finds a way to even itself out at the end of the day. Like those, like you said, they're not even bad things. They're things that sting in the moment, things that help you grow over time. And then you look back and be like, oh, that was supposed to happen. I'm so glad that that happened. But then there's other, like, you know, like a family member dies, like tragedies, you know, like how do you explain that in a way where it was like, that was supposed to happen. And there's some instances where you look back and there's a beautiful story to be told within tragedy. But then there's other times where, like, you can't explain that in the moment. Like, why would God do that? Like, why did that happen? Just to play devil's advocate with you, I want to see if you have an answer for that.
You know, I think everybody just has certain destiny. And, you know, I've never lost a close family member, so I don't know what that feels like. Yeah. I really have no idea what it feels like, but, you know, I've been in very intimate relationships. You know, I had a girlfriend, multiple girlfriends, and that is kind of like a death in its own way. I'm not going to try to compare the two, but when you lose a significant other, maybe it could be a best friend of yours, and you move across the country and you part ways, it's almost kind of like a death where, like, that person is gone forever from your life, especially if it's a significant other where you normally wouldn't talk anymore. So then you lose someone that you gave, you know, your whole life to. It's hard to compare, you know, if you lost like a sibling or a parent to losing an intimate girlfriend that you were best friends with. But, you know, whatever happens does happen. So you deal with it, you know, like, okay, I lost that person, they're gone. I got to keep going because I know for a fact, based on the relationship that I built with whoever that person is, they would want me to keep going because I want them to keep going. I know maybe if they died, they really can't keep going, but you know they're doing their thing up above, and that's just how it was supposed to be. So I know it can get a little finicky with the whole death. So great playing devil's advocate to really check me right there. But in terms of just like the day-to-day things that happen where maybe you missed your stop and you didn't, you know, get off on the right train if you're commuting in the city, right, or you spilled your coffee, or you were supposed to meet a friend and they bailed on you. Like, just don't complain about that stuff, because if you were supposed to go out, you were supposed to go hit dinner with someone and they canceled on you last minute, and if you just instantly complain about it, like, oh, come on, like, we had this big plan, you're screwed. But if you immediately switch your focus and you're just like, okay, done, we're not going to dinner, what can I do now? Then you're going to be walking down the street and go the other way, not towards the restaurant. And then you're going to walk into some sick scene. You have no idea what could happen if you just change your focus on the things where you can literally push away instantly. Who cares about your friend canceling? Who cares that the Yankees lost the baseball game? Who cares that some crappy little thing happened? Change your focus, and immediately you're going to see that something else was waiting for you. Every time you don't get what you want, it's because something much better is in store. And you don't even know it yet, but it's there for you, but only if you change your focus and be a master of acceptance, to where you accepted the fact this didn't work. Let's move on. We're done with it. What's next? And what's next is even better.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great things that have happened because, you know, people's plans didn't go according to what they wanted. And as I say that, I have no examples to give you right now. I'm drawing a blank. Like, there, I mean, I'll use a tragedy one just because I'm a big rock and roll guy. Dave Grohl, 24-year-old kid, drummer for Nirvana, right? The biggest rock band in the world at the time in the early 90s. Kurt Cobain, one of the most talented songwriters of all time, unfortunately had some demons, ends up dying, passing away at the age of 27. Huge tragedy. Those guys devastated. Dave Grohl, a 24-year-old kid, one of the best drummers out there, becoming one of the best drummers out there, starts writing his own stuff. 25 years later, he's the face of rock and roll with the Foo Fighters. That was never supposed to be a part of the plan. He was never supposed to be in the biggest rock band in the world. I mean, he was in the biggest rock band in the world, and then it defecated. They split, and then he formed his own thing and became the biggest. Like, that doesn't happen. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's tragedy involved. There's a lot of negative into it, but he blossomed it into something big. He was a drummer who lost his frontman, who became a frontman who unfortunately, as of a month and a half ago, lost his drummer. You know, like, you can't write that. There's a lot of tragedy in it, but there's a lot of beautiful aspects in it as well. Because you never know what's going to happen, and you never know why it's going to play out in the moment. But when you look back at it all, you're going to see it was a beautiful story that was written, no matter how it ends, because it was supposed to happen.
I couldn't agree more. And I'll look at my life. You know, one quick little example for me is, like, I was a huge baseball player growing up. My whole life was baseball. My dad was the coach of the baseball team. All my best friends were baseball players. I thought I was going to play college baseball, blah, 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 blah. Baseball, baseball, baseball. But going into my junior year of baseball, I just lost the drive and the passion for it. The coaching staff didn't allow people to have fun while playing. They put too much pressure on people to where if you made a mistake, you were out. The energy was just so whack at that varsity level. And I knew, like, I don't want this bad energy. I want to be around the people I love, and I want to do what I love, and I don't want to be weighed down by any nonsense. So I quit baseball, and it was like the biggest shock to all my friends, all the parents, the whole community. But I knew, like, this wasn't for me. Then I started playing AAU basketball, and boom, that changes my entire life. I met my best friend in the whole world through playing AAU basketball, in Andrew Holmes. He's one of my best friends. And now me and him are going to be starting a business together at the age of 26. We never thought that would be the case when we were in high school. And I quit my whole dream of playing baseball to continue on with just basketball and no nonsense on that baseball diamond. And look what's going to happen now, later on in their future. We're going to start a business together. We work so hard together. And basketball has become such a part of my identity. And that was never supposed to be. I was supposed to be a ball player. But you gave it up. You quit. You're done with it. You knew. And that was just certain destiny. So you just have to continuously go through your life and just make the decisions that you know you have to make. I know we talked about death and whatnot, and, you know, that gets pretty tragic. But aside from death, whatever happens, you got to trust yourself. You got to have the confidence to know you're going to make it out of whatever situation. And then a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you have no idea what that's going to turn into. But if you trust yourself, it's going to work out. If you're doubting yourself, you're just going to keep digging yourself deeper and deeper in that hole. And you're probably never going to come out of it because you're just waiting for someone to pick you out of it, but that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's so difficult sometimes, especially when things aren't going your way. You don't realize it's still like 100% on you. Like, yeah, you can't control the bad things that happen, but you can control how you react to them and how you adapt to them and how you pick yourself up after experiencing those things. Like, it's very difficult when things are just constantly just shitting on you and shitting on you and shitting on you, and you just feel like you're getting kicked in the balls every single day, that it's still up to you to make things better. Even when things look completely bleak and there's like that 1% chance that things are going to get better. At least that's the way it looks like that some ways in your mind sometimes, right? Like, it's completely up to you. When did you kind of, you know, have you always had this mentality, or was it like finally, like, was there like a moment where like the light bulb went on and you were just like, I can't think like this anymore. I got to be way more positive.
You know, I've always been really positive. I've always been a people person, to the point where I just want to make connections and I want to love and I want to be positive and I want to share all the good energy. I was like that all throughout high school. You know, my identity is sports. My identity is my friends. Everything was great. And then in college, things kind of changed for me where I didn't have sports anymore. I went to Marist College and I didn't really know who I was, but I was able to push through and have a great time. It was a really special time, but it's hard when you don't have something you're working towards. I never felt like I had a purpose in college. I was always myself, and I always had so much fun, and I had the best group of friends. And the whole time, you know, you keep hearing like college is the four best years of your life. I was living college and having so much fun, but especially by the end of senior year, I was like, if I have to say that college was the four best years of my life, I want to be shot in the face right now, because there is something way better beyond just doing schoolwork, getting drunk as shit on the weekends, and then just doing nonsense with your friends. That's really fun for that era. But at the end of my senior year, I knew I want to be at a high level one day, the highest level imaginable, because when I'm at that high level, that means people are going to be listening to me and hopefully taking action based on what I'm saying. I wanted to be the biggest positive influencer to ever exist with all the right people. And how am I going to do that? How am I going to get to that level? Well, it's not going to be extending my college experience like most people do. I know a lot of individuals who will graduate college, they'll move to New York City, or they'll stay local and they'll work a job that they hate. They don't love it, but they're closer to their friends from college or home and whatnot. And when they're 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, into their 30s, they're still drinking every weekend. They're working towards the weekend. They're celebrating nothing, and they're really working towards nothing. So I knew, respectfully, I have to get away from everybody I know. I have to get away from my friends. I have to get away from my family. I don't want nobody telling me what to do, because I know I'm always right. Just like you're always right. Every individual is always right about everything they do. So I don't want to hear nothing. I want to live my positive life on my own and create my own reality. And that's why I applied to over 200 TV jobs while I was graduating college a couple of months before. Got one job offer in Casper, Wyoming, you know, at the beginning of the second semester of my senior year of college. And I said, never been to Wyoming, no idea what's out there, don't have a clue about any of it, but I'm going, because I know that I have to. My intuition told me, go. You got one offer there, go. And what happens? I was able to just literally be myself and not have anybody tell me what to do while doing a job that I was obsessed with. The only focus was be the best at your job, be the best morning news anchor on the planet, even though no one's going to see me besides the people of Wyoming, and just be myself and positively impact. And right away, it worked. It worked to perfection, and it only got better. It only got better as I continued to believe that, wow, I can really do this. I'm not just working every day to get to the weekend where I can get drunk to forget about what I did and then do the whole thing over again, like that hamster wheel I was talking about. I was purposefully waking up at 12:30 in the morning, getting to the station at 2 a.m., producing a whole show, doing the whole show, preparing for the next show after the show, working out, calling friends, going to bed at 6 o'clock and doing it all over again. Then the weekend would come and I would celebrate doing something I loved with people I loved that I met in that area. And it was just the greatest 2.5 years of my life. This was summer 2018 until fall of 2020. And that's when I moved to Oregon for another morning news job. And that was a whole different experience. And then that whole deal made me quit. And now I'm back home doing what I love to do. And that's a whole different story that I can also get into if you're interested. But basically, I've had the mentality in college, I had to really figure out, how am I going to do this full time at the highest level? I applied what I knew instantly. And from there on out, I've just always been able to be myself without ever letting anybody put me on that hamster wheel.
Did you feel like, because you did mention you left there for a while, did you feel like you had to leave home in order to find something? Or was it just like you were looking for a different culture? Obviously, you got the job offer, so you were like, I'm out of here anyways. But like me, I grew up back east in Jersey, right outside Manhattan, first 18 years of my life. nothing clicked. I'm like, I don't like the crowd I'm hanging around. Like you said, like just like the hamster wheel, you know, the people just being like, up, oh, four more days till Friday. It's like that type of mentality. Like nobody wants to be around that. So I took my ball. I moved out to Phoenix, Arizona. I've been out here for 7 years. This has basically become my home. Like I don't even look at Jersey anymore as like, yeah, that was like the first 18 years of my life. But like my foundation has been in Arizona. Like this is where it's happened for me. This is where like things have clicked. The right relationships were built. The right projects were built. You know, did you feel like you had to leave to find like a different identity as well as a different culture?
Absolutely, bro. What I didn't know at the time is that it would be a perfect disconnect to reconnect. When I was leaving, I just knew that if I stay here, no matter if I stay in the Poughkeepsie, New York City area where I went to college, or if I stayed in my hometown, Albany, New York, the capital of New York, I would either be around my college friends or my friends from home slash family. And I just didn't need any of their opinions in my ear because I just knew I was meant for more. That's no disrespect to any of them, but I knew I had to figure it out elsewhere. And when I went to Wyoming, I instantly learned that it's all about building a foundation, building a network, and building a community. So I learned the fundamental principles of how to really have your own reality with all the people that you find and naturally attract. And that's what I did. I was the morning news anchor and I interviewed every single person in that whole area, coaches, players, business owners, restaurant owners, you name it. And after I left Wyoming, I went to Oregon, had a bad fallout after about 4 months when they wouldn't let me have my own podcast. The whole program was just reading off a teleprompter. They wouldn't let me do any of my own thing. It wasn't like my old job at all. So I realized, okay, you hit rock bottom now because you were at the top of your game in Wyoming. You learned everything. You went to Oregon, chose a job that you thought you had to take when it was really a shit show. They wouldn't let you be yourself. So after 4 months here, okay, have the confidence to remember what you learned in Wyoming. You know what it's like to be at the bottom. You can't go any lower than this. Let's reconnect with the hometown where you know all these people now. You have this crazy positive aura and message that you can really spread in this place, and you can build your own community. And I'm not talking about a fan base again, like we said before. I'm not building a fan base here. I'm building a network, and that's what I'm doing. Now I'm working with the best artists, the best gym owners, the best content creators, the best entrepreneurs locally. And I could have never have done that if I didn't go to Wyoming, because if I did work here in this area out of college, I could have never been on air. I would have never gained that confidence to believe I could do it because I would have had to get some kind of 9-to-5 job or some runner job or some job where I'm giving coffee to people at MLB Network or CNN or something in the city. Like, I never would have believed I'm capable of portraying my message in this genuine way if I didn't get the hell out, learn it all, come back. And now I just get to do my thing with people who know me and trust me and love me, and it just all works out. So I would totally say, if you're around people that you know, they don't see the same things you do, it doesn't matter if they're your best friends, your girlfriend, your parents, you gotta get away from them. Unless they really, truly are gonna make you better, you gotta go away. Doesn't matter how happy they make you or how many memories you've made, you can reconnect with them in the future, but you got to go do your own thing. And if that means moving to Wyoming, if that means moving to Arizona, if that means moving to Miami, you name it, get the hell out and go where you have to go to do what you want to do.
Yes, sir. I think it was a godsend for me. It obviously sounds like a godsend for you. Hell, I might even do it again soon. Who knows? But like, I think like it is so important to get out there. Being a culture it's so riveting being in a culture with a bunch of different talented people who all want to succeed at the highest level, but all have something a little bit different that they bring to the table, right? Because like you're collaborating with a bunch of different people that have great work ethics, but have just something a little differently, like something that makes them a little bit different, something that is wired differently in their heads that brings all of them together, that complement each other's talents and each other's mindsets, that make, whether it's music, you know, beautiful music or great content out there. Like, again, like if you're doing it by yourself, like, yeah, it could be great, but it's going to be so much better if you get intake from so many different people, different insights, different backgrounds, different experiences, you know, because everything is so subjective in the world. Like everything can be so much better if you just let and not everybody, but let certain people in that you know that you trust, people that you know want to grow, and people that have those experiences that shape and mold what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And it's not easy to find, and it's not easy to, you know, like you're going to go through some things where it's like it was fun at first, but then you're monetizing it and it becomes a business. Like when money's involved, like you've probably seen it, you've witnessed it. Things change, relationships change, expectations change, you know? Like there's so many different avenues, so many different chapters in your life where you're gonna look back and be like, oh, I definitely changed here because, you know, business got involved, relationships changed, and I'm kind of just rambling on that fact, but like you've probably definitely had experiences like that where like, okay, like this isn't a game anymore, like this is our livelihoods now.
Oh, dude, I couldn't agree more. This is not just us having fun. Like, this is us trying to change the world here. Like, there's no joking around. Like, I heard this great quote from a girl that works out in my gym. She says, I don't play games, I win games. We're not playing around. We're here to win. So if that means I got to stop talking to a friend of mine that just doesn't see what I see, I'm gonna do it. If I have to leave a situation that I know doesn't fit, I'm gonna get the hell out of there because I'm not gonna just waste my time so I can be checked off on an attendance list, or I can look like I'm being a good friend in the eyes of someone else because maybe that one friend of mine thinks, wow, like, this guy's just, you know, being an asshole, like he doesn't even care about me anymore. Well, it's like, well, you don't know what I'm actually doing, and the people I'm changing the world with cherish what I'm actually doing, and they take the time to listen and care and create with me. So you just got to know that we're not fooling around. Like, of course we're having the greatest time and we're having fun. It's not just like we're relentlessly working and there's no fun to be had and there's no smiles. We're smiling and laughing and loving and crying and dapping each other up all the time. But when it comes to like nonsensical, like bullshit and like fooling around, like we don't play that. We don't do that. And if that means you got to remove yourself from relationships, situations, settings, it doesn't matter. Like I said, in that one quote, our wits got to get sharper so we can attract all those magical things. And yeah, when money's involved and when lives are involved, we're trying to change and save lives. We're going to do whatever it takes at all costs. And if you don't see that, and if you don't understand where I'm coming from, and you're going to have resentment towards me or think I'm some kind of jerk, well, I don't want anything to do with you anyway. You should just believe that I'm going to have your back no matter what. And just because we're not on that same connect right now, doesn't mean we can't come back later in the future.
Amen, brother. I mean, well put right there. They're about to kick me out of this office. I'm like an hour after work, they're going to lock me in here and I don't want to be in here for the rest of the night. So we'll end with this because there's so many other things that we didn't even get to, like our careers that I wanted to pick your brain about. But we're going to do this again soon, like whenever you have time. You got time next week?
Of course, there's
so much stuff that we still got to talk about.
I love talking to you, bro. You're doing a great job with everything you're doing. You're so well-versed in interviewing and just conversing. So you hit me up, bro, and we'll talk more about anything.
Yeah, dude, next time I'll be in the studio, so we'll have, like, hours to chat. But I do want to leave you with this. Right before we went on air, you told me the story of your championship belt behind you. And I'll put up the video, too, once I edit this. What's this about?
So when I first moved to Casper, Wyoming, I was a morning news anchor, and it was the greatest experience of my life. I detailed that in our interview just now, and we had the owner of the Rockin' Burgers and Hot Dog Stand come on our morning show, and I interviewed him about the contest. You know, so silly, so fun. And then everybody's pressuring me, like, Billy, you should do it. You should enter the contest. You should compete. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Like, I don't do eating challenges. I've never done this. But then I thought to myself, like, why not step out of your comfort zone? Like, you know this could be special. You know you're a competitor. You've played in so many games all across the country. Why not just play and compete in a hot dog eating contest? Like, just do it. My intuition told me do it. So I showed up. I was a part of the Rockin' Burgers Hot Dog Eating Championship. We had 11 minutes to eat as many hot dogs as we could. And my best friend, Carmine Jamay, who was the sports guy, brought his camera and covered the whole event like it was the biggest sporting event anyone has ever seen. Probably was the biggest sporting event in Wyoming, not counting anything football related. And we just locked in, bro. There was this woman named Stephanie Chu Wu, who was traveling across the country competing in hot dog eating contests, ice cream eating contests, food challenges all over. She was a professional eater. And I thought, okay, well, you know what? I'm just going to give it my best shot, and I'm going to do what I can and guzzle these dogs down, pouring water on them, throwing them down my mouth. It was amazing. And then at one point, there's, you know, a two-minute mark or whatnot, three-minute mark, and the announcer says, Billy and Stephanie are tied at 10 dogs each. And then that Michael Jordan, holy shit, I'm a savage mode, kicked me in the gut, literally and figuratively, and in my mind, where it was like, mind over matter, mind over tummy. Let's lock in and get these glizzies down. And I just got them down, and at the buzzer, I finished the 13th hot dog as she was still chewing, and I won the belt. I set a competition record. I had an article written about me. I shook everyone's hand, took a bunch of pictures, and I became known right then and there as the hot dog guy. And it's like, how could have I done that if I stayed in that comfortable setting back east where I could have had this, you know, mundane life continuing my college years in my hometown or in my college town? I could have never been the Wyoming hot dog eating champion, which then would have elevated me to those crazy extents that go past that if I didn't move to Wyoming. You gotta check the video. It is so special, and I'll never forget it, bro, because that was like my coming out party where I won that competition. I did something I never thought I could do. And then I was like, wow, if I can win a hot dog eating contest against a professional eater, as silly as that sounds, it made me believe I could do anything. And that's why I always, always try everything and anything under the sun, because even if it doesn't work out, I'm just going to regret the hell out of it if I don't try it. You only regret what you don't do. I probably would still not be able to sleep if I didn't try that contest. And now I have this belt that I wear proudly, have it back in my setting here. And I send that video out to anybody that wants to know a little bit about Billy Floyd, because that video, like I said, as silly as it sounds, it's a definition of who I am as a person. No matter what, you're going to get the job done and you're going to try it, because there's no excuse not to.
And how'd you feel like 3 hours after that?
Honestly, not that bad, because
when the adrenaline sits, it's like, oh.
I planned it really well, because I woke up, I mentioned it earlier, I wake up like after midnight almost for my morning news program. So that morning I woke up and had like a protein bar and two eggs at like 2 a.m. I didn't eat all day until 7 p.m. when the competition was, had 13 hot dogs, which is like maybe like 5,000 calories or something. But when I was driving home, like I felt really full, but not like disgusting full. I just felt like I overate a shit ton. And then I had to go right to bed, but I didn't get home till like 9:30 because there was pictures, we did interviews, it was so much fun. And then I had to wake up like 3 hours later for work. And somehow, some way, when I woke up, I just felt normal. I just felt like a champion. I was too blacked out on glory to even realize like I just stomached 13 hot dogs. And that's what happens to a champion. You don't even care about what you had to go through to get there. You just knew, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. I'm not going to think about any of the negatives. I'm just going to think about dog down, champion belt around the waist. And then that formulates your future. Positive vibes only, honestly.
Jeez, man. There's going to be so many great, you know, bits and nuggets from this show. And next time when we talk next week, it's going to be about, you know, just a little bit more about this, a little bit more about our personal experiences, because I want to dive into so much more. But like that right there, in a nutshell, like manifesting your goal in the moment, not even like a goal that you had in mind, but like you said, as soon as you heard that over the loudspeaker, like they're all tied at 10, like just like this different animal in your head comes out and you're like, okay, like, game on now. Like this is it in the moment.
I never expected anything. That's the key too.
Yeah.
You can't expect anything. I went to that competition not thinking, okay, there's no chance I win. I was going into that competition honestly thinking, I know I can get this done. I know I can eat and I know I can compete. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to just be the best Billy Floyd I possibly can. And let's see what happens. I didn't expect the championship. I didn't expect to lose. I didn't expect to throw up. I just expected to be the best Billy. And then, like I said, when I heard they're deadlocked at 10 hot dogs, that thing in my brain clicked where it's like, okay, I didn't expect this, but here I am in this do or die moment. If I'm a real champion, I'm going to dig deep and get it done. If I wasn't a champion, I would have thought, wow, imposter syndrome. There's no way this can happen. But I don't care if I'm going up against a competitive eater on a hot dog eating contest. I don't care if I'm going up against a professional basketball player who played overseas. I believe no matter what kind of court or setting I'm on, I'm just going to perform at the highest level because I know I can do anything. There's no limits. But if I told myself, oh, this person's way better than me, I can't hang. This person is way more pro than me, I can't do it, I'm screwed. But that can never be the mentality. Enter every situation knowing you're not better than anybody, but also no one's better than you. Just focus on you, you versus you, and that's how you win hot dog eating championships.
That's how you become a champion in this world, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, man. Again, like I got 4 more hours of content that I wanna go into with you. We'll do this probably over the next few weeks, hopefully, if you can find the time, because there's so much more I definitely want to discuss with you. I mean, literally, we've been on the call for like 70 minutes now, and we didn't even get to like the things I thought we were going to get to. Like you said, like you never know what's going to happen. Like this was such a great, inspiring conversation that, you know, you don't have unless you ask, unless you take that chance and, you know, try to discover. You know, like we said at the beginning, to bring this full circle, you know, like you go out of your way, you see people on social media, you see people that come into your life and you're like, you know, they're going after it. Like, I want to be a part of that. I want to feel that. So I'm glad we got to do this today, man.
Dude, this was super special to me, bro. We've been following each other for quite some time now, and I know we both admire each other immensely. And I knew for a fact that I was going to be inspired by the time I got off this call, and that you were going to be inspired by the time you got off this call. And that's what every relationship I have right now is about. Everybody that I love and respect and work with inspires the hell out of me. And I know for a fact that they're hanging out with me, they're doing shit with me, because they are inspired by what I do. And that's why I knew that this conversation was going to rock. I know for a fact that this relationship between you and I is only going to grow as we cheer each other on and show support and show love. This felt like, I don't know, 15 minutes. I didn't even look at the clock. I'm looking at it now. 9:12.
Those are the good ones, yeah.
Absolutely crazy, bro. And it just takes one great conversation, one great call. And now I know for a fact we're going to hang up. We're going to do the rest of our thing for the night. And then we have a full day tomorrow knowing, like, wow, I have a new fire lit under my ass because I just had the best podcast interview conversation ever. And we got to keep doing our thing. This was perfect, Jack. And I am stoked to chop it up more with you about anything you want. This is good stuff. And I'm grateful as hell for you and the opportunity to be on your program.
Well, I really appreciate it, man. Like, you never know where the conversation is going to go. You never know, like, what you're feeling that day, what your guest is feeling that day. And then you walk away from it being like, oh, I got a brand new perspective on life. You know, it's refreshing to hear, especially someone as positive as you all the time, man. Like, I knew getting on here, I'm like, okay, I need a refresher. We're bringing on Billy because he's all over social media, just like in the best spirits possible. And, you know, you never know what you're going to learn. So I appreciate all the insight today, man. And again, over the next several weeks, I'm going to be in contact with you because I just got.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.